Yeah, but it just feels good, man, to drink together, to remember. There's a place for thinking and there's a place for drinking. Some of you are more in a thinking time of your life. Some of you are more in a drinking time of your life. And it's beautiful. Whoa, the mind is a wonderful thing to waste on Jesus. And shut We worship because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are beyond our comprehension. They're beyond our understanding. They're beyond us. Amen. They are beyond us. Woo! They are greater than our greatest experience, greater than our ability to articulate the word. Jesus is a mystical reality. He himself is the substance, interweaving, interpenetrating all reality with bliss. With the life of God, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. Take a moment and remember. Glory, glory, glory. All right. Well, I'm excited. These Wednesdays have been really fun. I hope we've been kind of building a bit on one another, that there's been layers and layers of gospel revelation just solidifying in your heart, solidifying in your being over these past weeks. Hopefully you've also been blessed to partake of the gospel and other from other places, other ministries, other gatherings, other books, et cetera, reading, getting it directly. But we've been attempting to layer it for these last 14 sessions, especially. And I'm going to get to some things, but I felt like tonight maybe, and this may not be necessary tonight, but just to give opportunity for questions again. Anything that we've covered in the last 14 sessions, anything related to the gospel, I'd love to open it up. And I always want to give opportunity for that. And so we may not be able to answer your question. I don't know. Jesus is the answer, but I always want to give opportunity. And if there aren't any, we'll just go into the next teaching. But I also think, when you do Q and A, Q and R, it can help make it the most relevant as possible when touching on certain areas. So did anybody come tonight or recently had something brewing in their heart for a question about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the finished work, our union, heaven on earth realities?
Hey Matt, it's Aubrey here.
Aubrey, what's up, brother?
Good, good. Hey,
Oh, I love the
so what?
I'm loving the mustache.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hi, sweetie. Yeah. I'm sure, I don't know if you've gone over this before. Okay, hold on. I don't know if you've ever gone over this before, but the penal substitutionary atonement, PSA. If God's not all about punishing the son or punishing us, then why did he die on the cross? I know that's a packed question.
Oh, you've been meditating on the that I posted.
I don't know if I did read it or not.
No, I posted one in Audrey's or in Aubrey's group. It was the one where the woman's in bed saying, I think he's thinking about other women, and then he's leaning over saying, if penal substitutionary atonement isn't true, why did Jesus die? So, yeah, that's a good one, man. Woo! Adrian says to make us gods. There you go. There you go. Well, there's a lot of that in the writings of Maximus for sure. this is something we cover in depth in the School of the Cross. John Crowder has a few videos on it. Baxter talks about it. You know, I can't remember if we, I think we did cover this in one of the early sessions, one of the early, the 14 that we've done so far, but it's a massive question. In fact, our kids do like 15 minute devotionals every day where they just sit and write in their prayer journal. And I was like encouraging my son today to, I said, you can always ask God questions if you want while you're praying. I said, you could ask him, why did you die on the cross? And he goes, oh, I probably don't need to ask him that one. That one's easy. And I was like, is it though? I was like, is it though? Because I think this is something we're going to be worshiping over and contemplating and just staring at for all the ages to come. It calls the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the fullness of the times throughout the Bible, like over and over. Like it is the culmination of human history. You know, whoa, Jesus, your cross is the culmination of human history. We worship you. We thank you. More happened there than we can possibly describe. And so a lot of people, when they realize that it wasn't the Father and the Son kind of pit against each other, the good guy, bad guy, that penal substitutionary atonement is not the gospel, then many times we're like, well, give us another simple explanation, just like PSA. Well, there is no other simple explanation because the cross blows up all of our atonement theories. Like the cross can't be contained in one little nugget, you know, it's huge. But some of my favorite descriptions, right? Well, firstly, just like we read in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the cross was about love. The cross was about love. Like when we look at the cross, like Godfrey says, all I see is love, love, love. May we just feel waves of love wash over us as we stare at that. And the part of the reason I say that is because most of us grew up, we knew love was a part of it, but oftentimes the first word that comes to mind is justice, right? We look at the cross and we think justice, payment, all that stuff from PSA. But the primary thing that we're meant to see is like the giant hug. Like one translation of 2 Corinthians 5 says, God was in Christ hugging the world to himself. Ooh, at that cross, hugging the world to himself. So firstly, it's about love. Secondly, if I had to name some atonement theories that I like recapitulation and Christus Victor. Recapitulation and Christus Victor, you can study those. Essentially saying that something actually took place substantially, like, and this is what we've been going over, you know, what is the gospel? Well, the cross affected the gospel. The cross caused the gospel. Or when we say the cross, we mean the incarnation, life, death, resurrection, ascension, the whole work of Christ affected the gospel, meaning all of heaven and all of earth brought together in inseparable union. All of heaven and earth brought together. This is why Jesus preached everywhere he went. The kingdom of heaven is now at hand. It's here in your hands. Heaven and earth is here. That's what was happening at the cross. So when he dies, he removes all of the old. And when he's resurrected, all of the new has come. Or you could say when he incarnated, all of God touches down into creation and floods creation with health, healing, and life, recapitulates. So like recapitulation is like when a body had died, when something had been infested with sickness and cancer, and so capitulation has to do with, you know, like a body dying. So recapitulation is that it's all brought back to life. You know, so instead of paying off somebody some debts or because God couldn't look at you, it was more like we all had a cancer, right? All of the cosmos had this cancer called of a delusion that happened when we, Romans 1 says, exchanged living communion with the glory for things that looked like, you know, gold and you know, animals and created things. We began to worship created things, and we fell in our minds. We became enemies of God in our minds, Colossians 1, and we became sick and darkened, and sin infested us. So Jesus, taking on the human body, recapitulates, restores everything, and then it says even makes a kainos new creation, makes it even better. So we actually, what we have in Christ is even better than what we had in the garden, although truly we were in Christ from the foundation of the world. But what was manifest in the life, death, and resurrection of the cross of Christ is greater than was ever been seen before. So, you know, there's so much that happened at the cross that's, you know, besides PSA, that trumps PSA of healing, restoration, redemption. We've gone over this several times, and I was going to mention it again tonight, but there's a substantial message of God meeting us in that valley, meeting us in the dark, meeting us in our lostness. And because that's the nature of the Trinity, is when we fall, the Trinity runs into the situation to heal it and to fix it and to restore. So that's a lot of words, but there could be endless words about this beautiful cross. Wow. Yeah. But I would study recapitulation, study Irenaeus, study Christus Victor. There's beautiful other views there. Loving, restoring, redeeming, healing. Yo. Any other questions? We get that one a lot, so I don't want to necessarily belabor that one. I have other sessions. If you're really interested in that, I can send you a recording. I do a whole hour on that in the School of the Cross, and I can send you the recording of it. If not PSA, then what? We got some new stuff to look at too. If there aren't any questions tonight, that's all right. No worries.
I have a question.
Yeah, Sophia.
What is Jesus's role in the Trinity? Mm. I feel like you've already somewhat answered that though.
Yeah, that's so good. Woo! I would love, I'd love to hear from a couple other people too, if you want, if anybody else wants to share on that one. But that's another one that's so profound, right? Jesus, so the Son, he's forever the Son, right? So there isn't a hierarchy in the Trinity. That's something to remember. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are co-equal, co-eternal. But they do, so it's not about the Father being greater than the Son. Just like in our families, hopefully we don't see the parents as greater than the kids. You know, they have different roles. I think a lot of what we see as the role of Jesus is the Word, right? At least to us, as far as what we experience, Jesus is the one that reveals is specifically revelation. This is why Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the one that probably we emphasize more often in life, even more than the Father and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the one that reveals God to us. Like the communication of all that God is, the communication of all that man is. So as the Word, that he has a unique role in expressing, like there's parts where it says, you know, no one can know God, or no man comes to the Father but through me. There's this unique role that Jesus specifically plays, that the Father and the Holy Spirit don't play, of revealing the nature of God and revealing the nature of man to us. I think part of his role as the Son is to reveal what sonship is to us, to reveal our identity as sons and daughters of God. So specifically, Jesus himself is the only one that's human, right? The Father and the Holy Spirit are still fully involved, fully in us, but Jesus is the one that's human. So there's this element of sonship of our life as children of God that he reveals, the word, the sonship. But I'd love to hear, anybody else want to speak to that? I just felt like that'd be a fun one to maybe popcorn for a second. What is Jesus' unique role in the Trinity? Cruciform love. I love that, Adrian. Incarnation. Yeah. Come on, bro. That's powerful. It's powerful.
I like Snorri's answer. Did you read Snorri's answer?
Oh, what did he say? Let me see. Zig it, zig it. Oh, yeah. Well, he's speaking to the last question a little bit, too. So that's good, though. The cross can be explained as God's answer to our violence. He would rather be beaten, tortured, and killed than to repay our violence with violence. Self-sacrificing love, other-centered love, reconciling the world to himself. It's good, bro. Absolutely, man. Come on. Sometimes we haven't really taken the time to contemplate, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, getting to know the Trinity rather than just this God concept, you know, the G-O-D, as Baxter says oftentimes, like getting to know our family, staring them in the face. Shut up. Yeah. God added humanity to himself, Rebecca says. That's good. The Son's role is to be the Son of the Father. Come on, bro.
Don't you think, like, sometimes, like, you go to churches and stuff, and people start off, like, in gifts and stuff, and then they kind of, like, get into this thing where it's, like, they kind of produce stuff themselves, and then you feel like it's not 100% authentic. They kind of trying to keep something going in the prophetic, but it's not quite God anymore. It's kind of like you start off with like prophetic stuff, and then you kind of like trying to add to prophetic stuff, and you kind of end up with a whole lot of extra stuff on the prophetic, and it's not open to really get the best, like what God's saying. Kind of, you're kind of missing something, but there's something missing there, but you kind of added something extra to what God is saying. Have you found that, like, do you find that sometimes, like when you go, and then like when you, like what you're saying about the Trinity, because a lot of people, they concentrate either on the Holy Spirit or the Father or Jesus, but I've never seen people really talk about all three at once. Like, that's quite something.
Yeah, come on, bro. Well, I will say too, you know, in light of the gospel, a lot of times when churches are ministering in the prophetic, the prophetic stream that's been the most active for some reason has not been extremely gospel oriented. And so you'll hear prophetic ministry go on and on and on. And rarely is Jesus mentioned other than the name kind of thrown out there. But the spirit of prophecy is the revelation of Jesus. So it's, yeah. Anyway.
So yeah, like so much prophecy goes off into the by and by, into some weird, glamorous, weird fantasy thing that's not actually really the gospel anymore. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
There's so much whack on just some of the stuff we're sitting here and contemplating now. Like, some of us have never taken the time to just sit and think, who are you, Papa? You know? And really, you have to contemplate all this stuff in light of the Son. I like what Snorri said, you know, Jesus is, his role is to be the Son of the Father. One of the things Baxter often says is, we're not just talking about the Father, but we're talking about the Father of Jesus. So if you sit there trying to contemplate Abba without contemplating him as the Father of Jesus, then we end up with these ideas oftentimes of whatever picture we had of our fathers, or pictures of what we think a father should be, or just whatever spiritual nebulous thought flows through. We look at Jesus, he says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So somehow the Son reveals the Father, and That's why really for all of us, we're starting with the Son. He's the Word to us. And through the Son, we see the Father. Through the Son, we see the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important, Jesus, right? Jesus and knowing him as the Word. Ooh, so good.
Like I've noticed speaking to like lots of people, like they're in different groups and stuff. And everyone who's like depressed and like Christians, I'm talking about Christians now, believers. And these are people that minister on a daily basis. They even cross out demons and stuff and do all kinds of stuff. But everyone that's depressed, they always have this wrong picture of the Father somewhere hidden behind everything. So if you just analyze someone's picture of the Father, you can really get to the bottom of why they are like they are. Because when you see the Father wrong, you're going to see everything wrong. You're going to, all your ministry is going to be wrong. Your church is going to be wrong. Everything's going to be upside down because you see, that's like the key. The identity of the Father is like the key to everything. Once you get that right and you start seeing the Father right, everything just falls in place. It's just beautiful.
Come on. Come on. Yeah, I love when, was it Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father. He said, have I not been with you this long? You know, to see me is to see the Father. And that's not to say that the Son is the Father, but it's to say that he reveals. We don't know. That's the thing, too. There's so many mystics out there speaking interesting and cool truths in some lowercase of term. But without the revelation of Jesus as our primary, like, goggles, our vision is so blurry. We're unable to see. We have no picture of the Father unless we're looking at Jesus. We're looking through the Son. The same with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people like, oh, I'm a Holy Spirit guy or whatever. You know, in the charismatic world, it's all about Holy Spirit. But you don't know the Holy Spirit unless it's through the Word, unless it's through looking through the person of the Son. And yeah, anyway, we're getting into, We should certainly do some sessions on the Trinity in these coming weeks. It'd be so fun. And you can't really talk about the gospel. What is the gospel without talking about the Trinity? The Trinity is the ground and grammar of the gospel. Hallelujah. But I wonder, are there any more questions maybe specifically related to some of the stuff we covered the last 14 weeks? Otherwise, I do want to kind of point out some new, quote unquote, new stuff. But I love questions, and there's no stupid question. If you're like, oh, I don't know if I should ask that. Everybody in here is pretty nice, and we'll play nice. You guys are walking in some heavy revies already. I love this. The chat is full. The whole chat is full of his glory. All right. Okay, cool. Well, let's just go over a couple of kind of new concepts that we haven't maybe we've touched on. We've touched on all of this. A lot of it is just, you know, repeat over and over on purpose because we've been oftentimes in religion for decades. We've been hearing anti-gospel for decades, even if it wasn't directly preached to us. Like, it's funny. There's something I actually like Dr. Bruce Wacho talks about is, he equates oftentimes the accuser is set up inside our own brain. Oftentimes the amygdala is where the accuser is most prominent. The amygdala is just a part of your brain where you're used to hearing these accusations, which are essentially non-gospel proclaimed from your own brain for decades. And until when you hear this, your heart knows it's true. When you hear this message, that's right. We're not trying to go from the head to the heart. Honestly, if you believe that Jesus finished the work, you're already whole. We're just waking up to that wholeness that's already there. So you're already resonating with that. But many times we've adopted lies for whatever reason, and we're just, you know, waking up to something that our heart already knows is true. But woo. So I just love proclaiming the gospel. I wanted to take some weeks on it. You know, as we said in the, you know, over and over, the good news is that all of heaven and all of earth have been inseparably united in the person of Jesus. You are in heaven on earth already. And that includes all the gifts and all the fruits and all of his life. You can just say it with me. I am in the Son's relationship with the Father. I have as much heaven as Jesus has. I have the same life. I'm sharing. I'm partaking in the same life that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have. This is the gospel. But a couple of ways I wanted to look at that again tonight. So the first thing I wanted to just emphasize tonight is the already of the gospel, the already. I think actually, I just remember that in this moment, when we were in Florida at our last Restolution, Jessica Valentine said, one of the heavenly encounters she was in, the angel said that that one of heaven's favorite words is already. One of heaven's favorite words is already. I encourage you, you can own that for yourself. That is the truth. And I want to describe what I mean by that, because honestly, there's a lot of layers to that. And some of them we've talked about already. You're already in heaven on earth. You already have all of the blessings of Jesus. You already, everything you thought you were waiting for heaven someday is yours now. Shagalagalaga. I know it's too good to be true, but just drink it. Woo! But specifically, so here's something that may help crack open some revelation for you. A lot of times, people hear this message over and over, but they're still wondering what they need to do to apply it, what they need to do to experience it, what they need to do to manifest it. How do I believe right? How do I renew my mind? How do I surrender, et cetera, et cetera? And what I want to encourage tonight, and this is what I heard Holy Spirit emphasizing, is the gospel isn't about some truth that's true far off high in the sky, right? It's not like just true in the spirit or just true in Christ, as if in Christ is this far away world. What is true in Christ is already manifesting in some degree in your life. How many of you guys, so before I go on though, we have talked about objective and subjective here. Are you guys all familiar with that? Where the week that we went over objective truth versus subjective truth. Just raise your hand if you're familiar with this, if you've heard a session on that. Objective, subjective. Most of you guys. I'll just give you the brief overview again. Objective truth is you know, what really happened in a situation. Subjective truth is what people think happened in a situation. Okay? All of us are still walking around in some degree in a subjective world where it feels like things are fallen, broken, not healed, not whole, not redeemed, not restored, right? We're walking around subjectively. We think because of our perception that it is not done, that we are not whole, that we are not healed, et cetera, et cetera. When objectively we are in Christ, in his life, and we're waking up to all that. Now, still though, now, that's true, and I've done sessions on that. Sometimes when we hear that, the objective still feels so far away, right? Have you ever felt that? It feels hard. Like, I don't know how to walk in my healing. I don't know how to manifest all this stuff. And the truth is, I don't know how to manifest it either, guys. Like, there are little, you know, things the Holy Spirit shows you, ways to participate, ways to respond effortlessly. But there's something greater than all that. What's greater is that it's already manifesting in your life in some way. It's already. This is a truth that is already. And here's what I want to point out. And this is going to connect with the second thing I want to talk about tonight, because the first thing, the already of the gospel, because in our Western folk religion, we have so oftentimes equated the blessings of the gospel with outward circumstances first, it causes us to often miss the inward life, which is the more substantial reality, which is that we're going to get to the second half of this teaching. But you're already, so what Jesus did, here's a way to think of it. So oftentimes we're like, man, I'm not flowing in millions of dollars yet. Everybody I touch doesn't get healed yet. I'm not able to transport at will around the world supernaturally. You know, I'm not levitating and, you know, shooting lasers out of my eyeballs and et cetera, et cetera. And because of that, sometimes we feel like this objective subjective world is so distant. We're like, man, I'm not rich and everything I do doesn't turn to gold and, you know, everything isn't prospering. The gospel isn't true. You know, because the Western folk religion is usually focused on all of these outward manifestations first. In fact, the less substantial portions of the gospel. Now, prosperity and healing and all that stuff is included. But what's the deepest part of the gospel? The deepest part of the gospel is intimacy and relationship with God, first of all. Ooh, union, intimacy. And connected with that, the removal of the old identity, the death of the ego man. When the ego has been removed and union is restored, that is substantial. That's a substantial gospel, intimacy and the ability to love. Right, is so much greater than just having money or, you know, laying hands on the sick. Those are good things. They are included. Don't hear me wrong. Those things are like dominoes that come down the line as we wake up to it. But each and every one of us have already been having, for example, here's one way I like to show people this by demonstration. I like to say, if I asked you what you want to do with the rest of your life, what your dreams are, what your visions are for life, what are your dreams? Every one of you would say the most beautiful and inspiring things. You'd be like, man, I want to serve the poor. I want to care for orphans. Like, I want to build a business that helps the world. I want to love my family. I just want to love my kids. I want to be a good mother, father, you know, child. I want to participate in my community. I want to serve. I want to bless. Why? Because the life of God is already in you. You know, if I asked you, what do you love to do? What do you enjoy doing? What brings you the most fulfillment and satisfaction in life? You're going to start saying things like, I love to cook. I love to travel. I love late night conversations with friends. I love ABCs. These are already the Trinitarian life manifesting in your existence. The gospel isn't that if you believe this stuff rightly, you'll get into a better experience. The gospel is the Trinitarian life is already manifesting through you. Now, this may sound small, but it is huge. For any of you who have spent time in religion, any of us who have, you know, grown up in Western folk religion, this is an exact opposite message of that, okay? Not on purpose. We're not trying to be controversial. But almost all of religion tells you you need to go from here to there, and here's how. That's not the gospel, as we went over last week. We went over the difference between the gospel and religion last week. If you missed it, go back and watch that one. But the gospel is that the Trinitarian life is already manifesting in you. So instead of being discouraged by what's not manifesting yet and trying to figure out how to get there, we can rest and just thank God for the love that's already in you, the joy that's already in you, the good, holy desires and passions that are already in you? Like, I mean, how many of you guys love your kids? You love your parents. You love your family. You love them. What do you think that is? That's Jesus in you. That's Christ in you already. You know, how many of you have dreams and goals and beautiful visions for your life? That's Jesus already in you. How many, if you see someone hurting on the street, your heart goes out to them and you often try to do something if you can to help them, to serve them? That's Jesus already in you. Now, are there areas where maybe you don't always love your family? You don't always help that person on the street? Sure, you're waking up to the fullness of your identity. That's why we declare your identity to you. But I want you to be encouraged, and because it's discouraging if we always focus on what is not yet manifested, what we are not yet experienced. We already proclaimed in these past sessions that there's an objective reality, which is true, whether you feel it or not, whether you believe it or not, et cetera, et cetera. But it gets discouraging if you always focus on those things that, well, I'm not yet experiencing that. Take some time and thank God for what's already manifesting in you. No, don't believe you're a new creation once you finally see all 100% of the manifestation. Start reveling in the fact that you're seeing some manifestation already of the gospel in your life. The already. Okay, I want to do a reading. So you guys know, and I've been finding, you know, Dr. C. Baxter Kruger's stuff. We've been quoting it all left and right, but I'm very, very, I'm hook, line, and sinker on this stuff. If you come to Jubilee Online Church, you're going to hear more Baxter. I want to do a reading tonight, and this is just a short reading from his book, The Great Dance. Woo! This is the Christian Vision Revisited, because it's actually a Christian gospel, not Western folk religion. But I'm going to put it up on our screen so you can follow along. Some pages, it's like two pages from The Great Dance, and they talk about the already, they talk about the gospel. And I believe if you haven't began to taste what I'm talking about tonight, you might get some out of this, these readings. So let's look at this. It's popping up on the screen here. I'm going to zoom in. From The Great Dance, a section of The Light of the World. In John's gospel, Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world." He does not say, "I will be the light of the world when people finally decide to follow me," or "I will be the light of the world when people finally get their religion right," or "when the church does her job and converts the world." He says, "I am the light of the world." Woo, shout out. This is not a prophecy or a projection of what may someday be in the future. It is not even an invitation. It is a simple declaration. The foundation upon which Jesus is speaking is the fact that he has done something that has changed the world. Just say this out loud with me. He has changed the world. Yo! Quite apart from our consultation or consent, the Son of God laid hold of the human race and decisively altered its very identity and existence. He took us down in his death. He crucified Adam, you, me, the human race, cleansed us of all alienation and converted us to his Father. He lifted us up in his resurrection, gave us new life, new birth, recreated us in the Holy Spirit. You're asking what happened at the cross? That's what happened. He exalted us in his ascension and took us home inside the circle of the very life and fellowship and joy and glory of the triune God. Jesus, therefore, does not present himself to us as a theory, a mere possibility, yet another potential truth among a series of potential truths for the human race. He presents himself as the light of our lives, as the mystery, the secret of human existence. When Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world," he's not being arrogant, and he is certainly not being exclusive. He is telling us that he has already done it. This is from The Great Dance, bro. He is telling us, by Baxter Kruger, he is telling us that he has already done it, that he has already drawn us within the circle. He is telling us it has already included us in the great dance. Our inclusion, therefore, is not a goal that we must now achieve or attain or make true. It is the truth. And as such, it is the greatest of all clues as to who we are and what is really happening in our lives already. Woo, boo, 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 boo. The fact that Jesus Christ is who he is and has done what he has done for us, with us, and to us means that there is already more going on in your life than you ever imagined. It means there is already more of the great dance about us than we have ever suspected. How could it be otherwise? If he shares in the life of the Trinity and we are included in him, then it is impossible that this life is absent from our lives. Whoa! Just say that with me. It is impossible for his life to be absent from my life. Oh, shabba, ba, 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 ba. Let's read some more. Jesus is not up there in some celestial sanctuary waiting for us to get our act together. He has not vacated the premises and left us as orphans outside the circle of his family life. He is not absent. He is present. And as the one who is present is the incarnate Son who shares all life and all glory and all fullness and all joy with his Father and the fellowship of the Spirit. The one who is present is the incarnate Son, the new man who is face to face with the Father, the victor who lives beyond evil and darkness, the covenant man who lives in unhindered fellowship with the Father. The mystery already at work in the universe, the light of life, the secret is that Jesus Christ is already sharing his life with us. The great dance is already afoot in your life and mine. In all humility and graciousness, Jesus Christ is already sharing his joy, his fellowship, his freedom with us. He is already sharing his glory and fullness and burdens with us. In all humility and graciousness, he is already sharing his creativity, his knowledge, his interest, his clean conscience with us, his love. This is not theory. This is not a dream. This is the light of life, the mystery of our existence, the fundamental truth of things. Our job is to rethink everything we thought we knew about ourselves and others and what is going on in human life, for we have been given the staggering gift. Oh my God. Our job is to rethink everything we thought we knew about ourselves and others and what is going on already in human life. For we have been given a staggering gift. Just stare at that. Just stare at it with me. Just look at it. Look at it tonight. To rethink what is going on in human life. This is massive, boys and girls. Most of us are still under the impression of this fallen, broken, clouded, dark, gray view of life when all of heaven's joys are bursting in. Whoa! When, you know, to hold a baby, to hug a friend, to talk with a loved one, to look at a flower, to feel the air around you is to partake of the Trinitarian life. We're all waiting for signs, wonders, miracles, prosperity, blah, blah, blah. When we miss that everything is a living sacrament, every cell, every molecule, anything you can see is flooded with the Trinitarian life. You're so full of the glory. Your life is so full of glory. The only reason we can still stand is because we've thought otherwise. We've been bought into the lie that there's this separate life down here waiting for the day when we go to heaven. That's BS. You are in heaven on earth. You're in Jesus Christ. You're partaking of his life right now. You're breathing Christological air. There is something greater than heaven. It's called Jesus. You're in him. He's in you. Therefore, you do have heaven. But a lot of people are like, I can't wait to go to heaven. It's like, dude, you're in Jesus, who's greater than heaven. Like, what are you talking about? we're so depressed because we've taken for granted the billion ways that heaven's already manifesting. Wow. We've taken for granted everything is held together, consists in him. We've lost the dance of life only because we believe that we had to lose it. Only because our eyes have been focused, just like the fall. What was the fall? We took our eyes off of Jesus. We took our eyes off of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We put them on created things, and we looked at created things as our reference, rather than looking to the glory as our reference. Woo! You can look at the glory all day long in created things, in your brother and sister. Panentheism, we're looking at Christ already permeating and interpenetrating all things, but we're not just looking at the things themselves. We're seeing that the whole earth is already filled with his glory. Let's read one more page for that, from the great dance, or the last paragraph, actually, on that same page. This is the secret of human life. This is a little story that Baxter shared. He said, just the other day, I saw a grandmother holding her baby granddaughter. She was standing in a restaurant in the mall. I watched her eyes as she looked at that baby. I saw the love and the joy, the tenderness and the commitment. I saw the hopes, the dreams, the desires. I saw the laughter. I thought to myself, does all of that originate with the grandmother? Is she the one who creates that love, that joy, that tenderness, that commitment? Does it have its origin in her heart? Is that merely a human event, a mere human love? No, that is the great dance of the Trinity at work within us, present, not absent. There is only one circle of love in this universe, only one circle of life and fellowship and passion and tenderness and commitment. And the circle has been opened in Jesus Christ. Woo! Thanks be to God. You see what I'm getting at with the already? Is it clicking? Are you guys getting it? The already. Oftentimes we've relegated things as separate. It's like we were just with Baxter and John down in San Antonio, and Baxter told this story when he was at a charismatic church, and this lady came up and said, "Would you pray for us? Because revival's breaking out at the church down the street, and revival's not been breaking out in our church, and we really want revival." And he goes, the woman's asking for prayer for revival while she's holding on to her little daughter in her arms. And he goes, "Woman, your daughter is going to be with you forever. And your eyes are set on this mystical encounter that some church is having down the road, and you have this precious life in your hands. The life of the Trinity is already manifesting in this child and you, and the love that you share with one another more than any revival that could ever take place," quote unquote revival. Our Western folk religious mind has said that all the goodies of life are going to happen once A to Z conditions are met, and we feel the wind blow through the sanctuary and fire falls from the sky and everyone falls face down. And we're missing the very life of God that indwells already in our heart, in our kids' hearts, in our family members, in every person we meet, in every blade of grass, in every bird that sings, and this is not to water down. I love miracles. I love fire in the sky. We see gold dust, gemstones, angel feathers. I've seen blind eyes open. But you know what? Anybody that's flowed in those kind of miracles for long can tell you it doesn't compare to one hug from my daughter. It doesn't compare to one moment just sitting in the sun, feeling the love of God on my cheeks. One moment of communion, feeling the kiss of Jesus just in my body because I'm breathing, because I'm alive. Like, the already of the gospel, guys. Jesus already did something that we don't make true. let's not miss out on that. Once you start enjoying that, the other dominoes begin to fall, right? Once you start enjoying the main thing, when you notice the main thing, the other stuff does start to happen. But if you're still desperate, crying out for it, it's like, you know, I think it's when Jesus said to, you remember that part where it seemed Jesus is mysterious, where he goes, those who have will be given more. And those who don't have, even what they have will be taken away from them. I think that's kind of just, again, it's a principle of experience. When you start to just revel in what you already have, you start noticing more. You start just noticing manifestations everywhere. But when you're focused on lack over and over again, you know, all of a sudden it feels like there's lack everywhere. The gospel is that something already happened. Too much has been given to you already. You're not the one left out. You've just been looking at the wrong thing. You know, it's like if you're looking for beauty everywhere else, you miss it in your own face. You know, no one can see their own face, but Jesus reveals in a mirror, look at what's already here. There's already image and likeness going on. Whoa, you're already just like God. What were you waiting for? And he begins to reveal, and this is the second part. So we've already been going for an hour and 40 minutes tonight. So I usually stop by 11. We get 20 more minutes. I'm concerned, guys, sometimes. I get concerned when people's focus turns to the less substantial parts of the gospel. I always declare we have all the goodies in Christ. And I think he loves to scandalize us sometimes by talking about money, by talking about gemstones, by talking about, you know, just the fun peripheral stuff, which is important. You know, we need money. We need little kisses and signs and wonders. That's important stuff. But the world is crying out right now. And the world is turning away from the church in droves because we're not focusing on the substantial gospel. Right, where we are often given this shallow. I mean, I don't know how many people you meet, they think that a lot of Christians are just, you know, boats and coats and suits and money grabbing televangelists and, you know, the Righteous Gemstones. Any of you guys seen the Righteous Gemstones show? It's like a parody on modern Western folk religion, to be honest with you. And it's hilarious and sad all at the same time. But the world is looking at the substantialness of the gospel. And that's the other thing I want to declare. What is the meat and bones? What are the richest things of this message? Again, it's what we were sharing earlier, but it's the fact that we have union with God. We actually have a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not based on our own efforts or our own fickle roller coaster. We have Jesus's relationship. We have union and community. We have a mystical reality that's no matter what comes in your life, you can always feel God. Guaranteed, you always have God. I mean, even if the feeling leaves for a minute, you always have Him. And you always have, and I want to point this out. So again, we're just so that you know. You know, we have drunken meetings where we're talking about money manifesting and we're talking about, you know, here's, you know, God's going to bless you in your ministry. He's going to take you all over the world. He's going to give you yachts. You know, I got words about yachts that the Lord wants to give you, hilarious things. But the substance of this message is union and the evil-free existence that we've been given, the new creation nature, where we get to live as humble little childlike lovers where the old man is gone. And this is something that, you know, all of you guys, if you focus again on the lesser parts of the message, sometimes you forget that you have holy, beautiful hearts. Like you guys are really super kind and loving individuals. Like you may make mistakes at times, but I guarantee if I lived with any one of you guys, 90% of the time, it, you know, this isn't always the case of every human, but a lot of you guys have been drinking the gospel for a bit, and you start to live kind. You're humble. You want to love other people. And that is Jesus living his life through you in a substantial way. Like, let's never take for granted the fact that he makes us kind, gentle, humble, joyful, other-centered love, other-centered lovers, just like Papa and Holy Spirit. Jesus is other-centered love, and he's made us that. And so in our union relationship, what are the manifestations that are the most substantial? It's that Jesus loved us at our worst, and now we're empowered to go into the worst places, other people's lives, into other parts of the world, and just be ego-free. Wow, to be evil-free. Temptation holds no sway over you anymore. You may fall in an area or two, but you don't like it, and you love holiness. Like, you love, this is the substantial gospel. There's actual life transformation that happens when we realize Jesus entered into the depths of us. It's always been with us, and his life is now manifesting through us. So this heaven on earth gospel, you know, we've gone over a lot of the benefits over the last 14 weeks of these sessions, but I want us to keep, you know, remembering, not, or as Psalm 103 says, forget not all his benefits, and especially what are these really substantial ones. And we're starting with prophetic words at the beginning tonight. That's a word I keep hearing over and over, that Jesus is revealing a more substantial gospel, or the true substantial gospel is what he's revealing, because it's what our hearts long for. It's not about just building your business or making you a better, you know, good citizen or whatever, you know, seeing more miracles. Those things will come. Those things are beautiful. But he's delivered you from evil. What? He's made you totally new from the inside out. He's brought you into living union and communion inseparably that you never have to strive for already. This is the substance of the gospel. It makes it so substantial. So substantial. And it's a good news that Jesus entered into the most weak and broken places, so that even if you still feel at times weak and broken, it's a message that he's there. He's already there, releasing these realities. There's nothing we have to do to become more loving, more joyful, more humble, more whatever. There's never a moment where he's distant, where he's far away. In this very moment, the life of the Trinity is flowing through every fiber of your being, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not. You've been delivered from evil. You've been given an ego-free existence in union with Papa. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a good place to just kind of wrap it up. I was thinking about, several rabbit trails we can go on, but I just want us to continue to know what a gift we have in this message, and to let our roots to sink deep to in a restful ease that comes over us, like a relief that this is something that's already done. Already been given the most substantial reality possible, like beyond, exceedingly abundantly above what we could possibly imagine. And so if it doesn't seem that way to you, look again, keep hearing. That's why we've been taking 14 sessions on this, because people do not, they're not, if you're not hammered drunk when you even just hear the word gospel, then you need to hear it again, because it is rich and substantial. Woo! Union life, ego-free existence, already manifesting in your bodies. So, woo, glory, 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 glory. I think we're going to close there. Yeah, I think we'll just close there for tonight. But just looking at all your beautiful faces, I'm just, you know, we're in this together, praying for you guys. And isn't it just fun? Isn't it just a good life? Isn't it just so good? And if you're not feeling that tonight, I just bless you. Maybe some of you are still feeling a little under the weather for some reason. I bless you physically. Maybe you're just like, this isn't clicking with me yet. Does anybody just want to pray a prayer over us maybe as we close? Just pray something out. You can pray over those that need prayer or just pray a prayer of rejoicing. And maybe we'll just end there for tonight, but so rich. Whoever wants to go, just close us out with a glory prayer, gospel prayer. Somebody pray over Vera too.
I'll pray.
Love you, Nicole. Yeah, there he is.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the heavy, weighty glory of the gospel, Lord, that touches Vera. All the healing she needs, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's just there right now. And we acknowledge it, Lord. And we celebrate you for that. Whatever Vera needs, whatever any of us need, I thank you, Lord, for it right now. And you're the best thing for us, Jesus. I thank you that we're designed to, like Matt saying, you're better than heaven, Lord, and we're designed to enjoy you right now, Lord. That's why you made us. And I just thank you. It's so easy, Lord. You just love revealing yourself to us. You love touching us always. And I thank you, Lord. It's nothing that we do, but it's all what you do. We just get to bask. We just get to rest and enjoy forever. So easy, Lord. So easy, Lord. I thank you for healing our minds where we need healing in our minds. Healing in our body where we need healing in our body. And something I've been wanting to actually release for a few weeks now, I just keep forgetting for some reason, probably, is actually this vision of our wholeness, Lord. A tangible vision where we can actually see you, Jesus, in such a way where it's like, as in a mirror, we see our wholeness. We behold our wholeness. And it just shifts away in our experience anything that doesn't feel whole. Lord, any thoughts that aren't feeling whole, you know, just whatever it is, Lord, I thank you that we are whole. And right now, Lord, I just thank you just for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, just guiding us into that full-blown package of our seeing our wholeness, Lord, by seeing you as in a mirror. I thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. We love you. And you're in the midst of our stuff, Lord. We brought the cross. And you changed it into an emblem of love, Lord. You're just always here to love us, Lord. We brought the crap to the table, but you transformed it all into wine, Lord. So I thank you. We can sense your wine in the middle of what we think might be crap in our life right now. And you're transforming it right now. Thank you, Jesus. You always are. Amen. Amen. Glory.
Thank you, Father, for the love that's already flowing in our lives. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hey!
Thank you. Do-ba-da-bu-da-da-bu-da-ba-ba.
Shut up. See you.
Papa. Papa, Papa, you're such a great provider. Thank you for your care. You're so involved in our lives. You care. You care. You really care.
Everybody, thanks for joining. Love you guys.
Good night.
Super rich fellowship.
Everybody,
with
love you.
Super rich.
Good night. Blessings.